Gold. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A brand new broadcast week begins, the last full week of March 2015. It is the 23rd day of March 2015. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go if you want to, for instance, jump into the chat room and be part of the full-on, full-time, real-time, multimedia experience that is Moran Monday on the Horn. That's right, it's Moran Monday here, and, well, it's spring. It's certainly acting like spring outside. We've got a lovely blue sky, clear as a bell afternoon. Oh, it's lovely. Beautiful. Almost feels like the sap is up, so to speak. That's not a dirty euphemism for anything, like frosted lemonade. Last night during the basketball game, I used Kate Filet's frosted lemonade hashtag to describe what a piquant blend their frosted lemonade is of the sweetness of faux piety and the acid bitterness of bigotry and hypocrisy. And our good friend Waggy said frosted lemonade sounds like some sort of dirty term for something he doesn't even want to know about. And I kind of agree. But no, it's beautiful outside here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Coal, Virginia. I kind of had to be chased in out of the yard. It's gorgeous. Almost 60 degrees. Now, this is not to say that I don't fully realize that it's going to get kind of icky from time to time. I mean, Wednesday and Thursday, we're expecting highs of 70 and 72, but the heavens are going to open and we're going to get thunderstormed on, too. And hey, look, it's Saturday. Oh, pure sunny skies and a high of 37. Yeah, don't put away the long sleeve gear just quite yet. It's March in Appalachia. But it is. It's Moran Monday. And welcome one and all to the chat room. Good evening, News Ninja Carol Baker. Good evening, Jug of Punch. And good evening, Labor Man. Good evening to Third Stage Guild Navigator Sparky, who is in both of his manifestations, having folded space. He is both Sparky and Man Cave. We'll check in a little bit later and see who else has wandered in. I always like to say hello to the folks who wander into the chat room and respond to email. That's one of the funnerer things of doing all this, is the real-time experience that I get out of it. But yes, I was about to blow right past it. This is a listener-supported radio network. Most of you already know that, because most of you aren't newbies. But if there are any noobs out there, or perhaps anybody listening who doesn't necessarily contribute, this is a listener-supported radio network. And we went into the weekend behind. And we came out of the weekend even. And there are people who deserve to be thanked for that. Thank you to Jason. And thank you to Joan. Thank you very kindly. Thank you very much to Jean Ann and Brenda, and to Jason. Different Jason. But we come into this evening exactly even with the beginning of the week, which is wonderful. We try to raise $150 per evening in order to keep the bills paid and the wolf away from the porch. And for the first time in a very long time, I can say that we are we're almost at a place where we're caught up with bills. We got a couple more. We got about $1,000 in bills to deal with between now and Friday, but we'll be even. So we 150. If we could raise 150 in an evening, that's great. If we can get out in front, that's great too. So the PayPal interface is under the tab Contribute at headonradionetwork.com. Or for those of you who prefer to use the U.S. Postal Service, and thank you very kindly to those of you who do, you can go to, you can send to, oh, thank you very kindly, Jeremy and Randy, loud and clear on TuneIn and loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac. Bob says, Randy, thank you very much to both of you. If you prefer to use the U.S. Postal Service to help keep it going, that address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV25801. With a gentle reminder that checks and money orders should be made payable to The Horn, not to Bob Kincaid, because I never see him. That's what Boss Man Wayne does. What else? Am I missing anything? Well, no, I suppose not, except to say that, you know, there's a renewed call out there, and I've had emails from other folks who say, yeah, it would be nice, Bob. Some of the folks who routinely help us keep all, keep all of this going, have said, listen, if folks can, it would be nice to hear the names of some people who have never contributed before. And so 5, 10, doesn't matter what, but if you haven't, the regular contributors, the regular supporters would love to hear some new names to bring into their ranks. So that's out there. Thank you. And by the way, News Ninja Carol Baker let me know that the first round of Hooterville Holler gift baskets went out today. She says, and I have the bad back to prove it. They went to the four corners of Merca. And there, yea, verily, there will be root beer floats. Yummy. So, timeout. We've been raising a bit of dust back here in the studio. Haven't got all the new equipment and the new configuration installed, but we're getting to a point where we can see where it's going to go, and that's really exciting. We're going to reconfigure. We figured it out. We're going to reconfigure the studio and make it something really, really, we hope, special. And with any luck at all, that'll be in the next couple of weekends. Rome wasn't built in a day, and studios don't get reconfigured in a weekend either, but we're getting closer. Hey, thank you. Thank you very kindly to Ed, who got us started this evening. That's a third of the two-thirds of the money we need to raise in any given evening. You may recall Ed is the inventor of Have a Show on Me. That's when folks kick in $150 to take care of an entire evening's fundraising. Thank you, Ed, for getting us started. We got $100 to go this evening, and I got a feeling we can get there. Sure would be nice. Okay, enough with the fundraising, Bob. It's Moran Monday, isn't it? Oh, it most certainly is Moran Monday. And what with it being springish and everything, and I'm sure there are people out there going, I saw photos that our buddy Brandon from Brooklyn put up. That kind of made me feel bad about talking about spring last Friday, all that snow sitting on cars and there in New York City. But it is spring. And, you know, in spring, a young demagogue's thoughts turn to, fancies turn to thoughts of presidential politics and the hustle of the funding hustle of the campaign trail. And so, yeah, I'd like to thank Tail Gunner Ted Cruz, Ted Theodore Cruz, anointed son of Raphael, future King of America. I'd like to thank him for his entry into the Moran Monday race today. But I'm really not going to give him pride of place. We're going to mention him and move on, particularly at the kindly request of Sister Kate out on the front range. Apparently, everybody and their cousin has been talking about Ted Theodore Cruz, son of Raphael, anointed future King of America today, so we'll take a pass on it, except to maybe touch on some ancillary things that that have to do with his campaign. But it is spring. Yes, it is. It is spring. And, well, spring gets the blood up. Spring causes the sap to rise. And it causes the Morans to begin to run in packs. And they are. They are. And that's exactly where I was going, Carol. Mr. Freedom, Ted Theodore Cruz, son of Raphael, anointed future King of America. Mr. Freedom made his announcement at Liberty University, where attendance at the announcement was mandatory. Smells like freedom, says Carol, and that's, yeah. So, everybody, yeah, if you didn't show up there at Liberty, you had to pay a $10 fine for not supporting Ted Cruz. And you want to know what radicalism looks like over there at Falwell University? This. There were a group of kids, college students, I should probably not say kids. There were a group of college students who objected to being forced to watch Ted Theodore Cruz, anointed future King of America, son of Raphael, announce his candidacy. So how did they make their protest known? What was it about Ted Theodore Cruz and the rest of that so annoyed them? I mean, is it possible that there could be a little core cadre of progressive young people attending school at Falwell U, the school that once got in such deep financial trouble it had to be bailed out by Reverend Moon? Yes, that Reverend Moon. I bet you forgot about that. I didn't. No. The short answer is no. No, they're at Liberty. Liberty. Sit, Liberty. Sit. Good Liberty. They're at Liberty University. The hardcores protested their they made their libertarian values shine by showing up at the convocation wearing T-shirts and sitting down front, sitting front and center, wearing T-shirts that said, "I stand with Rand." Oh, come on, what? You were expecting me to say they were sitting down front wearing T-shirts that said, "Elizabeth Warren for president now, save us from Hitlery"? Really? And I think 6:14 p.m. counts for this. If you had 6:14, not a lot of people take take the early hours of the program for the H-word pool. But no, I stand with Rand, because their liberty was being violated by forcing them poor little college students attending an incredibly expensive rip-off of a Christian university. By forcing them to watch Ted Theodore Cruz, anointed future King of America, son of Raphael, announce how he was going to be president and keep the Homer sectionals from getting married. Right. You know, Ted would probably, if he got to be president, he'd probably mount a furious space campaign to fly to the moon to get our American flags back from the moon, which ain't America. Because Ted Right. But no, okay, so that's the Ted story. And now we've got it out of the way. Steve with a note, Steve with an email. Observing. I'm sure someone's brought this up, or will. But where are the birthers for a guy who really was born outside the United States? Yeah, I know, that occurred to me earlier because there's a hashtag out there that a lot of people have been having fun with on Twitter. Ted Cruz campaign slogans. My entry into the hive mind was Cruz for president, because after 8 years, aren't we ready for a guy who really wasn't born in the U.S.? So far, I haven't seen any stories of Oily Taint or whatever her name is getting all beside herself over having a foreigner. But, of course, remember, Bomber John McCain was also not born in the United States. Oh, but Bob, he was born on a he was born on a U.S. naval base in the Panama. No, he wasn't. His daddy was stationed there in the canal zone. But Bomber John was born at a hospital outside the canal zone that wasn't part of the U.S. military installation. Nah, no birthers on him either. Not hardly. So, your point is well taken, Steve. Very well taken, indeed. Now, so that's that. Holy mackerel. I've got one of the biggest thank yous to offer I've ever seen. Thank you, Bob. Bob in Texas. Wow. Just took care of today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and part of Thursday. I'm speechless. That is magnificent. That is... Ooh-wee, gonna be some bill paying going on this evening. Thank you, Bob. Thank you very kindly. So maybe there's a chance to get out front and run downhill to the end of March and get a whopping good start on April. Thank you, Bob. Thank you very, very much. And thank you to Jeremy, who just jumped in as well. Thank you very kindly. Jeremy, with a note, said, apparently PayPal has decided to charge a small fee of 10 or so cents for the friends and family choice. Capitalism at its best, says Jeremy. I don't know. I'll have to look and see. Thank you, everyone. Hey, let's keep it going. True. Memories aren't so short around here, because Luda, with a note, just said, don't forget good old George Romney, who was born in good old Mexico for some crazy-ass Mormon reasons. Well, you know, they left Utah because Utah didn't want him anymore, because multi-great-grandpa Romney wanted to have 4 or 5 or 9 or 13 sister wives back when Utah wanted to be a state. So they went down and left heathen Utah and went down and started a little Mormonizing colony in Mexico. But then George was brought as an illegal alien. That's the term they like to use, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Back into Merca. The Romneys don't like to talk about that so much, though. But as I noted, we're going to be busy this evening. We're going to be busy this evening because, well, yeah, this time of year, sap gets up, blood begins to rise, and the Morans begin to run in packs, it's going to be a bit of a challenge.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
That's right. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry. You will not believe your ears as you approach this thin cybernetic veil of canvas that is all in the universe that separates you from right-wing Morans, birther Morans, deather Morans, ninther Morans, tenther Morans, booger-eating Morans, baggers, birchers, Republicans and libertarians of all shapes and sizes. That's right. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Oh, indeed. For less than 5 cents per hour of programming, you can get behind this thin cybernetic veil and be amazed at the depth, the depravity, and the outright silly stupidity of the right wing in this here once great nation and now crumbling empire. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits and Morans. And we ain't kidding. Let's start, shall we? Oh, do please. Let's start in New Hampshire stand. I saw a New Hampshire license plate in the grocery store parking lot the other day. I had trundled over to the local Kroger to hit their organic section for a little quinoa and some sourdough. I really do like quinoa. I like the red stuff in particular. But I saw it, and is it just me, working the liberty theme from a few minutes ago that Sister Carol brought up, is it just me, or is there something decidedly ironic about that whole live free or die motto on the New Hampshire license plate? I mean, what do they do to people in New Hampshire who look up and say, I don't want to live free? Do they come up and gut them like a carp? I mean, live free or die? Nope, I'm going to live in a moderate degree of servitude. Well, you got to go. At least you can't be in New Hampshire, Stan. I don't know. Oh, God. And we let these people have the first primary. I guess, is that why New Hampshire and Iowa compete for... Hi, Barbie! Compete for the lunatic turnout every 4 years, presidential years, since they get to go first. And what, the third one's South Carolina, and that...
He tried to nuke Charleston, and I swear, he's a communist dictator. When are you going to do something about it?
I mean, really? Really? So, but that license plate just got under my skin. Just like, hey, how about them Mountaineers? Weren't they awesome last? Oh, okay, for everybody who's not a Maryland fan. Sorry, Tosh! Weren't the Mountaineers just awesome last night? Oh, my God. And now comes the border war. It could get a little harsh around here, you know, playing Kentucky here on Thursday and everything. But luckily, it's a late in the evening game, so the horn will not be interrupted. I'll just be a roiling ball of nerves
all day Thursday. But why am I doing that? Anyway, New Hampshire, live free or die. It's a hell of a choice, isn't it? But the reason I mentioned the basketball is because, I just notice these little things because I'm funny that way. For those of you who have been watching the NCAA tournament, have you seen the Axe commercial? The Axe dry antiperspirant spray commercial? Features a guy in what, white trousers and white shirt and a little narrow black bow tie, who must be some sort of a secret agent, or at least that's the musing, because this is Moran stuff too. This is Madison Avenue Moranizing. A beautiful woman seated by a pool with some sort of, I guess we're supposed to assume, Mediterranean landscape in the background. And she's lying on her pool lounger in a somewhat revealing black one-piece bathing suit. And she wonders who this guy is who's walking toward her, who must be a secret agent. And of course, he judo chops one guy and throws him over into the hedges. And then two guys attack him, and he kung fus one and jiu-jitsus the other. And I don't even know the styles, okay? And then says, "Your menu, madam." And it turns out he's a waiter. And then we cut. Then we cut to the dressing room, where we are told about the new Axe dry antiperspirant body spray, which goes on dry. Did I mention this guy is a waiter? And it shows him spraying the new Axe dry body spray antiperspirant under his skanky pits. At which point, the waiter then takes one hand and rubs it under his skanky pit. Or on his skanky pit. And granted, it's a body spray commercial and not a restaurant commercial, but still, I will never, ever buy a can, not that I was likely to in the first place, but I will never, ever, ever buy a can of Axe body spray if for no other reason than in mute protest of the fact that they had to put a mental image of a server who works in a restaurant and brings you food to the table, wiping his hand on his underarm. You don't want to live in my mind. You just don't. Jay Cruzen says, "I'll be pulling for West Virginia. Go Cavs." Cavs? What? No, Mountaineers. Go Mountaineers. The Cavs made a rather ignominious exit the other day. But thank you for the sentiment just the same, Jay Cruzen. News Ninja Carol Baker pointing out, "Live free or die" reminds me of the Monty Python Life of Brian scene. Crucifixion or freedom? Oh, I'll take freedom. What? Oh, just kidding. It's crucifixion. I choose crucifixion. Exactly. No, they told me I hadn't done anything and I could just go live on a little island somewhere. You know, imagine the trouble. Imagine the trouble. This world could have been saved had the Romans simply crucified John of Patmos instead of sending him to live on a little island somewhere. And that's the humor in that Monty Python bit. Okay, so we're square, Jay Cruz, and he says, "I know that, I'm just picking at your thick skin." Go Cavs. Spoken like a true mountaineer, though, one of our fellows said, and the questions they... "Are y'all a skeert of them Kentucky Wildcats?" And one of our fellows said, "No, not really. They put their draws on just like we do." Spoken like... And, you know, the young man's not from West Virginia, but by God, he's been there long enough to learn to speak hillbilly. Put on the draws just like we do. Proud. Mighty proud. No, we are not going to make a sequel to Being John Malkovich, Marty, being Bob Kincaid. You don't want in this mind, trust me. But anyway, back to Live Free or Die, New Hampshire Stan. Because this story is too much fun to leave alone. Do you remember, and it may have been about this time last year, and why? What is it? And of course, it was just a couple of weeks ago that Ted Theodore Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Raphael, it was just last week, it all runs together, when he was out there scaring a child, your world is on fire! Right? Yeah. But it was about this time last year, I think it was, in the legislature of South Carolina, Stan, when a little girl who was working on her science project or something found out that one of the very first ancient bone sets ever dug up was dug up by slaves, because white people did not work in South Carolina, at least not the right white people, was dug up by slaves in South Carolina. And the little girl, impressed, wrote to her legislator to ask that legislator to pretty please, and I don't even remember the name of the animal, and I think it was wasn't it a mammoth of some sort? But she wanted that legislator to make this particular dead creature the official state dead creature of South Carolina, Stan. And that's one of the, and remember, it was one of those charming stories of how a young person can get involved in government and see government in action until some dead from the neck up moron Repiglican ruined it. And had to add language to the bill saying, and of course we know these animals was a killed off by the flood because evolution is a lie propounded by the devil to confuse the unbelievers. Right? And there then ensued a firestorm of controversy until the said dead from the neck up evangelical fundamentalist anti-science Repiglican. And I realize that's not nearly enough detail to actually sort this guy out and let us know who he was, because there's thousands and thousands of them, maybe millions in South Carolina, Stan. But ask the South Carolinians. Ask Todd down there. He'll tell you. Oh, we've got another one. And, of course, it involves children, and it involves right-wing morons, because it's Moran Monday. These are fourth-grade students from Lincoln H. Ackerman School in Hampton Falls, New Hampshire, Stan, who must have a pretty darn good teacher. Because these fourth graders spent not class time, but their own time. They spent their own time, not class time, to put together a project asking the state government of New Hampshire, Stan, silly children, to make the red-tailed hawk the state raptor of New Hampshire, Stan. Got it? So they did. They learned a lot about civics. And they got them. You know, they got themselves a sponsor. They got the bill introduced, and the bill made it all the way through the New Hampshire Stan House of Representatives committee. And having come out of committee, all the little fourth graders were in the gallery of the New Hampshire Stand House of Representatives to watch the vote and see if it would pass. This is courtesy of WMUR-ABC9, by the way. Well, the fourth graders from Lincoln H. Ackerman School in Hampton Falls, New Hampshire, Stan, learned a hard lesson. Often, government doesn't work, even on simple things. Simple things, like, a state bird or a state fossil. Because when it came to the floor for debate, one Representative Warren Groen, who is a Republican from Rochester, and is apparently, well, I really don't think there's any question as to Warren Groen's status as a moron. He rose to speak against the bill. In speaking of the red-tailed hawk, he said of said raptor, "It grasps them with its talons and then uses its razor-sharp beak to rip its victims to shreds, to basically tear apart limb by limb, and I guess the shame about making this a state bird is it would serve as a much better mascot for Planned Parenthood." That's not a... I'm not kidding. Just because there was a funny voice doesn't mean that I was not reading his quote from the floor, word for effing word. Can you imagine the looks on the little fourth graders' faces? Huh? What? Well, Principal Mark Delbois saw the looks on his little fourth graders' faces. He also heard from parents who asked him, "Why are my children asking me what Planned Parenthood is?" Why are my children being told about Planned Parenthood in a discussion about the red-tailed hawk? Principal Mark DeBlois, that's kind of tough. Put that L sound after that B sound. DeBlois said none of the kids got those abortion references. Fortunately, they didn't because it's such a disgusting reference. But certainly that led to questions about what did that mean. Nature is often not pretty. It can be downright violent and not cruel. I don't see that as cruel. It's just bloody and violent because, well, that's the planet we live on. This is not a planet powered by unicorn sparkle pony farts. It's a brutal place. But generally speaking, at least this was our experience raising children here, we didn't show, you know, when the little ones were little, we didn't show them the video of the lion chasing down the gazelle and proceeding to rip its innards out. You wait a little. Oh, but not representing Warren Groen, Republican from Rochester, New Hampshire, Stan. He was asked about it, and he said, "The gallery is open to the public, and there are children in the gallery every day. I don't know if we should limit free speech or limit the attendance in the gallery. It seems either one would be bad for transparency in government." And remember, the New Hampshire State House is ruled by Republicans. And yes, it is the first primary. And that, for some reason or another, brings out the lunacy in them. It's probably a bad word. It brings out the mean-spirited, hateful right-wingness in them. Because it turns out, according to WMUR, that other lawmakers made fun of the little fourth graders.
Yeah, what are we going to be doing? I mean, we're naming a state Bud. Next thing you know, we'll be naming a state Hot Dog.
You know, because birds and hot dogs are so goddamn similar. South Carolina getting some relief. Jeremy in Vermont noting, Bob, hockey puck warning. I forgot the hockey puck warning. Sorry. Jeremy saying, I share a border with this fool. Well, apparently you share a border with a lot of fools, Jeremy. At least one legislator said they voted against the bill because I have a constituent named Big Chicken. Principal Dubois. I could do that all night. I'm not going to get through it, okay. Dubois said, obviously, they were disappointed that their bill didn't pass, but it was just the manner in which they say the bill was debated when they saw people stand up and say these just appalling things. That the abortion reference was probably less than the gentleman who stood up and made jokes. That was almost more upsetting to them because they understood those references. Why didn't they take us seriously? Why were people laughing? Why indeed? Why indeed? They were laughing, you see, these birthers and deathers and tenthers and ninthers and baggers and booger eaters, these repulsive repiglickens who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings and probably wipe their hands through their skanky pits and sniff them. They were laughing because the little fourth graders had been lied to by their teachers. They were laughing because these little fourth graders had been taught that government is supposed to be something that responds to the wants, desires, and needs of the people. And that's just bullshit. Because government in New Hampshire, Stan, and elsewhere is whatever the Koch brothers and Alec say it is. Oh, so what with some little fourth-grade tyke wants the red-tailed hawk to be the state raptor? Are they giving out checks? Are they giving out campaign contributions? Shut up, fourth graders! Maybe. Just maybe. Maybe that turns out to be a lesson after all. Maybe those little fourth graders will remember their experience. Hell, I remember singing in a Christmas concert in fifth grade. You never know what a child's going to remember. Yeah, I understand, J. Cruz, and bird, hot dog, processed chicken, just saying. Okay. But maybe they'll remember this experience. And maybe, just maybe, they'll think it can be better. And they'll do something about it. That is one of the neat things about being up there in that corner of America. Colder than hell. And Bossman Wayne, who lived in Vermont for a very long time, told me that there are two seasons up there. 11 months of winter and 1 month of bad sledding. But still, there's representative government taking place up there. and maybe, just maybe, these kids will remember that lesson and go and do something about it. But in the meantime, really? You can't even consider a bill about a state bird? A state raptor? I mean, come on! A show of hands. I mean, how many people in the new United States of America, crumbling empire that it is, see that, and there's lots of it. You know, the eagle swoops down and flies real low, 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 low over the water, and then drops his claws and flies up with a salmon in its talons and goes back to feed the little baby eagles. Or the hawk that's aloft on an updraft on solitary wing, as Mark Twain once wrote, and espies the little pigeon down below and goes into a steep dive, tucks those wings, extends those talons, and grabs the pigeon, and Mama bringing home supper tonight. How many of us look at that, and the first thing we think of is our opposition to abortion? You know, wow, that's really an object lesson in the degree of unhealthy, probably psychologically diagnosable obsession that attaches to the right-wing movement to curtail the rights of women to control the workings, the constitutional rights of women to control the workings of their own bodies. Oh, okay, in Vermont, Jeremy tells me there are two seasons in Vermont, winter and mud. Subject line, Skanky Pits. Tim from L.A. wants to know, can I learn hillbilly? Also, John McCain was at least born in a U.S. territory in Panama. No, he wasn't, Tim. He was born in a hospital outside the canal zone. He says, but Cruz was born in Canada to a U.S. mother, but the exception does not apply in his case because it's not mentioned in the Constitution. So can I, without any issue, say in the Teabagger blogs that Cruz does not qualify for the office? No, because their answer is, well, we've already had a Kenyan, so that horse is out of the barn. Michael in Madison. Your description of that gross Axe body spray ad, yay, I'm not the only one who's seen it, yay, I feel better, reminded me of this delightful verse by the Decemberists. I'm seeing them Wednesday in Milwaukee, Michael says. Oh, enjoy, for all of us. So when your bridal processional is a televised confessional to the benefits of Axe shampoo, you know we did it for you. We did it all for you. The singer addresses his audience. You know, Preston in Colorado is the Horn's resident optimist, but sometimes people fill in for Preston. In this case, it's Kate on the Front Range. I see the New Hampshire incident as a positive, a real-time lesson in civics. Those kids will never, ever trust the process again. This from Darlene. Maybe if those fourth graders were zygotes or little fetuses instead, those idiot legislators would have taken their requests more seriously. Well, but they can't make requests. But no, the idiot right-wingers
would have imagined what their requests would have been. And you know what? That request, because the default setting request of any fetus, any zygote, is,
please, please, I want to be born. Please, let me be born. Don't rip me untimely from my mother's womb.
You know, like, you know, from Macbeth, the Scottish play. Never mind. Oh, God, I said, please don't let anything explode in here. Don't say that word. But I think it's an open debate now as to whether any zygote, any blastocyst, any fetus would say, I want to be born. Now, you can check in, for instance, with, check in with Hinduism that says that this is all a veil of suffering and it's all illusion and we're just trying to get the candle blown out and go to be back part of the oneness of the universe. They've been there, they've been saying that for a very long time. But really, if you could communicate with a fetus and you could explain to the fetus, listen, kid, we got to talk. You're about to be born into a world that is rapidly changing. The entire, and we're assuming this fetus is going to be born in the new United States of America because exceptionalism. You're being born onto a continent that is being desertified even as we speak. Yeah. You're being born into a world that is wildly overpopulated. There's just too many of you, frankly. And while you may experience some privilege being born on the North American continent, like being able to eat, if not as much food as you want, wildly larger amounts of food than a lot of people in a lot of places on this planet. Because you're going to be able to eat that way because there are other people who are eating hardly at all. This is a world of strange new diseases, unprecedented natural disasters. Now, you got a choice, kid. You want to come out and play?
Fuck now! Isn't there a red-tailed hawk somewhere?
Yeah, exactly, Devin. Terror of the zygotes. With regard to the fourth graders, Devin knows good. They should never trust, just trust the system. They should fight tooth and claw to reconstruct it to be fair and humane. Good luck doing that as long as Charles and David Koch are breathing air. And the small handful of billionaires like them. Good luck indeed. By the way, Jack in Shreveport says, a look at about any week's agenda of a legislative body will produce many bills which simply name a place or a day, etc., as recognized to be special by the state. A state bird or a state raptor is probably way up on the scale of the special recognition bills. No state red-tailed hawk raptor for New Hampshire stand, though, because Planned Parenthood. Maybe sweet Granny McWhatter name in Massachusetts could take some show-and-tell posters of red-tailed hawks ripping the innards out of bunnies and show them to those fourth graders, those misguided fourth graders in New Hampshire stand. Like I said, they're running in packs, these morons. And we got lots to work with over the course of the coming 2 hours and 5 minutes. Mm-hmm.
you're probably going to hate me for this bumper, but why not? By the way, just one last Ted Cruz thing. Then we really are done. I'm done. And this is ancillary. This is one of those don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good kind of things. For some reason or another, Chuck Todd, what's up, Chuck? Chuck Todd invited California Governor Jerry Brown to be on Meet the Prestitutes or Press the Meat or whatever that show is on Sunday. And I know that especially in the California contingent of the Horn Family Commune Congregation have a lot of problems with Jerry Brown. And they're problems for the right reasons. For instance, his fascination with fracking. Jerry apparently loves him some fracking, and he's an austerity guy, and yeah. I'll leave it to the Californians to really lay all of that out. But give props where props are due. Because while Chuck Todd doesn't like to ask hard questions of Republicans, he doesn't have any problem asking possibly incendiary questions of Democrats. And so it was that he was asked on Meet the Press what he thought of the presidential candidacy of Ted Theodore Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Raphael. What did Jerry Brown say? Jerry Brown said, that man betokens. And it's serious when they won't refer to a person by name, but just simply reduces him to that man. That man betokens such a level of ignorance and a direct falsification of the existing scientific data. It's shocking. And I think that man has rendered himself absolutely unfit to be running for office. Going on to talk about climate change, he said, I think this almost has to be at the level of a crusade. Talking about the drought in his own state, Jerry Brown said, we're running out of time because it's not raining. This is a serious matter we're experiencing in California as kind of a foretaste. But there is no doubt that into the future we're going to have more problems. Then Chuck Todd asked him, if you were 10 years younger, would you run for president? Jerry Brown said, I sure would. So like I said, credit where credit is due. Oh, and by the way, News Ninja Carol Baker pointing out, with regard to the fourth graders in New Hampshire stand, and my reference to maybe the teacher should have shown the hawk gutting a bunny. Carol said, it lacks punch unless the teacher showing the hawk gutting the bunny is screaming, whores! Whores! Yeah. Oh, God, we got so many more ends this evening. We got so many more ends this evening. And we will also, your nominations for More and Monday are more than welcome. It is, after all, conversation radio. The telephone lines are open. 304-663-4676 is one of the two. That's 304-663-HORN. And the other line is 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. If you wish to connect Skype to Skype, we can do that too. My contact address on Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. And you can reach me on Skype or on Twitter at Bob Kincaid and on Facebook, Bob Kincaid. And we've got a closed members-only group, The Horn, Head On Radio Network, if you would like to join in there. We've got a bunch of members there, and a lot of fun stuff goes on that page. So if you never have, reach out and we'll member you up, as long as you're not a right winger or birth or death or, you know, the litany. Right. So let's take our break. Our top of the hour break. And then get to the conversation. Because this is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Oh, come on. Ted Cruz, Fundamentalist, Armageddon, Rapture, and Raptor? A little bit inspired. Yeah. 5 minutes past the hour. We are into the second hour of the program. Yeah, Blondie, Rapture. Why not? It fit. It worked. Let's jump right over to line one. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, Tracy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm dandy. How about you?
Well, you know, now that Ted Cruz has thrown his hat into the ring, I'm absolutely, you know, what did I send? What's the text I sent to you, Ted? I'm ready for the second coming of Jesus Cruz.
Oh, yuck. Yeah, but, you know why he did it, right?
No, why? Because I don't want to be inside your head. So obviously you came up with some, you know, a crazy-ass reason for him to do this. Well, tell me why.
No. This is crazy-ass about this, Tracy. He had to get out in front of the Reverend Mike Huckstraby because the Reverend Mike's done got himself a book that's the God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy, and only, you know, there can be only one candidate who sucks in the right-wing evangelical fundamentalist rubes. So Senator Ted got out there to get out in front of Mike Huckstraby.
Oh, so this is like a Highlander. There can only be one.
There can be only one. There can be only one. He's the Wundy Fundy.
So, the Wundy Fundy, you are stupid. I was at home, and, you know, Jan has to move on, and it shows Ted Cruz, you know, doing a lot of posing and stuff like that. So you're telling me that they forced those people that don't live at the university to go sit in and listen to this asshole?
Yeah, because it was deemed to be a convocation.
A convocation.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Although I think on the campus of Falwell U, it's probably just as easy to refer to it as a clavern.
Yeah, well, you remember I told you my mom got her master's from Liberty.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay, because yeah. I laughed about
but
it.
Yeah, if you didn't... No, anybody who didn't show up because they were taking names, writing them down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know, they were taking names, and if you didn't show up and you were a student, you got fined
$10. I paid a fucking $10. What about the online students? Because, you know, my mom went to school there online. She never actually went on
well,
campus.
Well, no. If you're not on campus.
You mean they didn't have a web feed of this shit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's just too hard to administer. And besides, if you're getting an online degree from Liberty University, well, you know.
Go ahead and say it. Go ahead.
They're fleecing you out of a hell of a lot more than $10, Tracy.
Right. Well, my mother told me what she was actually trying to convince me to go to Liberty because of all my, you know, prior level of, you know, prior learning skills and whatnot, and they give you credit for that stuff too. And I'm like, isn't that precious? But, you know, this is before my mom, before I, you know, I fell in love, but then I told her, I said, you do realize that Jerry Falwell does not like black people. Or did not have, is he there yet?
Oh, yes. He's been barbecuing for a while.
Okay. But I said, he didn't like black people, and he certainly didn't like the gays.
Oh, he didn't like the gays worth a damn.
Right, you know. So, you know, or was it Swagger? I get them mixed up. They're all billowing, bulbous white men, angry white men, so I don't, you know, I kind of, they all kind of
Falwell is the guy who, Falwell is the guy who sat down and had a tete-a-tete with former liquor supply officer Marion Pat Robertson right after September 11th and said that lesbians caused the 9/11 attacks.
What? Man, I didn't know our donors had that much power.
No, The day y'all figure out how much power you got, the rest of us is that. And I don't know why they want to screw with you. You know what I mean? If y'all got that kind of power, no, I'm gonna be real nice. I'm gonna be
Can I offer you a cupcake, please, ma'am?
Speaking of, you know, getting the lack of power that black lesbians have, check this shit out. So, you know, I do a school run. I take special needs kids to and from school. So a couple of weeks ago, I had two little Hispanic kids in the cab, and my little black kid. So the little white kid is screaming and hollering and kicking the teacher, they're yelling and all this, and we're sitting there waiting for him in the heat. So me being who I am, I never said it to him. I didn't say it to the director of the program, nor did I say it to the parents. I said it to one of the minions or the aides. I said, well, we have to sit here and wait if this we weren't waiting for a little privileged white boy. Now, guess what happened?
You got in trouble.
I got fired.
What?
For saying a racial slur. Is the chat room blowing up yet?
Well, there's a little bit of latency involved in the internet here. It'll catch up in a second.
Yeah. And so, you know, Jan kind of fixed this, so I still have a school run, but I said to them, because I never got a chance to defend myself or anything. I was dismissed from that part of the program. And I said, do you not, only reason why, I promised her I wasn't going to say anything but bullshit, because if that is not defamation of character, I did not know. How are you going to say I said something, first of all, do they not know what a racial slur is?
Well, it's because, yeah. I don't think it's because you called him white boy. I think it's because you called him privileged. It is not okay in America to call out privilege.
Right.
Because that's not exceptional.
And I said to, you know, I told Jan, I said, you know, they just dismissed a black lesbian for calling attention to white privilege. Are you kidding me? Do you not know the hellfire I can rain down on those idiots if I chose to?
I'd kind of like to see that happen.
You know what, Bob?
How long ago was this?
2 weeks. How long are we going to have to file a suit?
Mm.
Because let me tell you something, baby. If my wife wasn't here, if she was retiring tomorrow, do you know, I would actually pick up the phone and call Gloria Allred. As much as saying her name leaves a film in my mouth.
Well, you know what, there's lots of other lawyers, but yeah, but I get it.
Yeah, but still, you know, for something like
that. At least you're not doing what the SAEs at Oklahoma did and going out and hiring Timothy McVeigh's lawyer.
I didn't say swing it, you know, I didn't say the little cracker and like, you know, I didn't say the little honky. Now that's a racial slur.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, now if I said that and if I said it to his face or to his, well, because I said, you know, and I'm thinking, because his mother's, mommy number one, mommy number two.
Well, see, so here's your mistake. You weren't literary enough.
Yeah.
Instead of white little privileged white boy, you should have said, you should have referred to him as, are we really going to have to listen to this out of that little Snopes? Or are we really going to have to listen to this out of that little Yule? Okay, because those are literary references, and I'm pretty sure nobody there has read William Faulkner, but anybody, if you were telling that story here, the chat room would be going, oh, snap! Snopes! She called him a Snopes! Because them Snopeses.
You know?
And them Yules.
Spell that?
Yeah. Them Yules.
You know, it just pisses me off. Because I'm like, I have been doing this shit for... Well, the babies I've been doing for two... That school run I've been doing for 2 years. And the other ones I've been doing for a combination of 8 years doing this, Bob. And... Even, you know, because like I said, if this was not going to blow back on Jan and her job, I would be suing. Because, see, here's the problem. And I still might just do it the more I think about it, because I might be quitting soon anymore. I am going when I finish school and get my master's and all that, I will be going to apply for my therapy license. they have to do an in-depth background check on me. I have to list any place that I've ever worked. If this blows back on me, I swear to Jesus that they're
well, you know,
no,
I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on the radio, but I think you should talk to one and get a nasty gram written to them and tell them, you know, look, you can either fix this or, you know, we'll have fun.
Right, because I am just undone. Is that the right way to say it? Undone?
Mm-hmm.
I am so tired. I am so exhausted. It's exhausting being a black woman in this country. And now add lesbian on to my moniker. Okay? So it's like, Jesus Christ, can a sister catch a break?
Well, you remember way back during the nightmare era of Ronnie Reagan? Remember when was it Reagan who said something about what was the reference to a black lesbian Jewish woman in a wheelchair?
What? What are you talking about, Bob?
A black lesbian Jewish woman in a wheelchair.
No, I don't remember that, because remember, I didn't start paying attention to politics until Obama. I try not to think about Reagan because it hurts. It's a very painful part of our history. So I try not to think about it. But who was he referring to? The black lesbian?
Well, I can't remember if it was Reagan or one of his minions. But somebody, they were talking about preferential treatment and how you've got it made, you know. You want to talk about somebody who's really got it made? A black lesbian crippled woman, a black lesbian crippled Jewish woman. Something evil and hateful like that.
Wow. My wife is Jewish. Does that count?
We can work it in. We can work it into the analogy.
Again, when people, I think the problem is, because I had this discussion with somebody, one of my, because I when all this went down, I had a session I called Ask a White Boy. So,
yeah.
One of Jan's assistants is a true white boy. I mean, he's from Idaho or Wisconsin or something, but he is very attuned to the fact of his privilege. Right? And so I asked him, I said, did I say anything wrong? He's like, nah. I'm like, okay, guys. I said, because, you know, I can be militant and sometimes I can let my mouth write a check that my ass can't catch. But usually, even when I do write, say stuff like that, it's the righteous indignation. So, you know, we got that working for us. But however, we had this discussion about privilege. And I think what he was saying is it took him the word privilege. Because he said when you say the word privilege, it comes up with these images of, you know, like the Kardashians, the people with all this money. So when you say white privilege, the white folks are like, well, I don't have privilege, I don't have no money, blah, 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 blah. Or I don't have X amount of dollars or whatever. He's like, but then he finally got it because I forget what happened. She's like, without even a dime to my name, I'm just still a white man.
And there's truth to that.
And there's truth, and that's what he said. So that we might have to come up with a different word other than privilege. Because when people hear the word privilege, you know, they go, well, I don't, you know, I'm not the card. You know what I'm saying? I don't have money anymore. So how do I have white privilege? Because you're white.
Right.
And he said, and it took him a minute. And I said, it's because I'm slapping the frick out of 50. This time next year, I will be creeping up on 50. All right? So.
Oh, stop with the creeping. I crept and ran past.
Well, that's on you, homie.
All right.
But I still get followed around in a grocery store, in Macy's. Okay, I still get people looking me up and down before I get served at a restaurant. Here I am going for my master's and more than likely my doctorate in psychology. But when it doesn't matter because when I walk into a room, Bob, the first thing they see is a black woman, and most of them see, only thing they see is a nigga. So, you know, they don't know, and I haven't even opened my mouth yet. I haven't even said who I am. They just formed this opinion of, and there's nothing I can do about that. And for years, I had this thing that I wanted to be anything but black because I know what kind of world I live in. And I'm like, it has to be better. The only thing I wanted to be was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white girl. That's all I ever wanted to be. And it took me all these years to figure out, hey, you're pretty freaking awesome. And the people that your ancestors were pretty, they were more than just, like I said in the essay I wrote. When I grew up, the history that I was taught about my people was we were slaves, Lincoln, quote-unquote, freed us, and then there was Martin Luther King. And that was
that took about what, day and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah. So why y'all still complaining?
Right. Y'all got a goddamn black president. What if? Why do you black people? What is the problem? Get over it. It's okay. It doesn't matter that you got, you know, that you have the least amount of population in this country, but the highest population incarcerated in this country. No, it doesn't matter that, you know, most of your folks live in abject poverty and have no way of getting out because the schools are for shit. No. Mm-mm. Quit your belly aching. You got a black president.
So does that mean if Ted Theodore Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Raphael, gets elected in 2016, all the Canadians down here have to stop bitching?
Yeah.
Oh wait, well, Canadians don't complain.
Hold on. Wasn't he born in Canada? Was he actually born here?
No, he's born in Canada.
So how the fuck can he run for president? Ever since being born here in this country?
White privilege.
They left that part out. That he. So how the hell? Okay. So seriously. seriously, fuck what? Because when I saw that shit on TV this morning, I said, wait a second. He wasn't born here. His mama didn't. He didn't come out of his mama's natural American soil.
Oh, now you don't. Now wait a minute. We gotta have a little Timmy and little Cindy warning before you use a word like that.
I'm sorry. I didn't even. It just pissed me off. He's not even an American citizen.
He's an American citizen. So Raphael bugged out of Cuba, you know, because he loved freedom, and wound up in Canada where Ted Theodore Cruz, son of Raphael, was born, and then they moved to Texas. And ain't nobody had no problem with him so far, so it'd probably be just all right.
You know, what is it about Cubans and Republicans? Because I've noticed, you know, maybe celebrities like,
No. Okay, so much, and far be it from me, Bob Kincaid, palest man in Appalachia, is now going to declaim upon the nature of the Latino community. That hardcore little knot of anti-Castro Cuban expats down in South Florida and elsewhere tend to run Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, they were mad at JFK over the Bay of Pigs.
Just stay alive in Cuba. I'm sorry, that was
because me. You and again, privilege enters into monetary privilege enters into it because
monetary.
A lot of that hardcore knot of weird right-wing Cuban expats in South Florida, at least the old generation of them, were people who got dispossessed of stuff when Fidel Castro nationalized things.
Now
the Bacardi family, they moved to Puerto Rico. But like all the tobacco families, you know, one of the if you're into cigars like I am, you know, you read about it and you'll find out that some the latest hot shit boutique brand of cigars coming out of Honduras was crafted by, you know, so and so, who was once the head roller for Partagas in downtown Havana.
Gotcha.
And so
it still confuses me. I mean, I understand that people would see, this is what confuses me, and I have this conversation, and I have it all the time with, because I have, like I said, I have a couple of ask a white boy questions. I mean, ask a white guy, because he's a man. And I just stop saying white boy, but it sounds so much better than white guy.
Well, I'm not put off by it, so, because, you know, I enjoy getting pushed back away from 52 a little bit.
You gotta stop with me. You can't just drive and run me over. Anywho, so, when I ask these questions, and, you know, like about the whole white privilege thing, and then we get into the politics of, you know, the Bible Belt state. Some of the poorest, what would you call it, Mississippi Stan and all that?
Yeah, Mississippi Stan, sure.
And all these places.
Quick correction, and this comes from the Department of Corrections, which is a horn subset. News Ninja Carol Baker pointing out, Tracy, you can't say snatch. It's verjanda.
A verjanda,
okay. Yes. And she is absolutely right.
Because I was just angry, and I used, you know, when the brain goes, the filter stops when the brain gets angry, and so I apologize.
Well, the filter just backs up, is all. Yeah.
And by the way,
Jay Cruzen is asking that I at least offer up the correction, or at least acknowledgement, that weird little core of hard-ass right-wing Repiglic and Cuban expats, they're not nearly as powerful as they used to be, and South Florida is, for the most part, deep, deep blue now.
Deep, deep what?
Deep, deep blue.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, because, among other things, there have been resolutions introduced in, I think, various city and county governments, maybe one, maybe two, in South Florida, suggesting that South Florida secede from North Florida because, among other things, South Florida tends to acknowledge the reality of climate change.
Oh.
Yeah.
2016 is going to be an interesting election year.
When the first clown out of the clown car is Ted Theodore Cruz, how can it help not be in a hoot?
And this is why John Stewart, see, this is one of the reasons why I'm going to be hurt that he's going to be gone. Because this upcoming election cycle is going to be a hoot. It's going to be terrifying, nonetheless. But it's, you know, because it's going to be terrifying in the way of what we're going to hear, the rhetoric, that or the bullshit. I try to say it nicely, but it's going to be the bullshit that we're going to hear for the next, six?
Well, if it
12?
Was, if I wasn't in the line of work that I'm in, I would try to find a way to, you know, it's like Odysseus at the mast passing the sirens. You know, you stop up all the crew's ears with wax and then have them lash you to the mast so you can hear the song. But no, I'd be like the crew. If I didn't do this, I think I would be sorely tempted to just stop up my ears and not watch any news
because it's, I mean, I get notes from members of the community saying, you know, Bob, we love you, we love the conversation, we love the community, but we got to get away from this for a while because it's mm-hmm. getting unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
We had another appointment this morning and took the and took my son over and walked in there, medical facility, you know.
And because of Obamacare.
And thank you, Obamacare, absolutely. But what's playing in the waiting room?
Oh God.
Yeah, Fox News. And not only was Fox News playing in the waiting room, but they were running Ted Theodore Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Raphael's campaign announcement live from Liberty University.
That is so frightening.
I mean, this is a waiting room where there are sick people who don't need this.
You see, this is, okay, again, remember, every so
it's a waiting. It's a waiting room. It's a waiting room in West Virginia where sick people don't need this, where the sick people who are there because of Obamacare and are saying, I can't wait till we get rid of that Kenyan Muslim, you slurper.
Right.
They're
getting a checkup and they're finding out if they have diabetes or whatever, and they're getting a dental checkup for the first time in how many years and all these things, but they can't wait to get rid of the Kenyan Muslim atheist socialist.
Yeah. He's a communist dictator who tried to nuke Charleston, South Carolina.
See, it is just every day, and so the 2016 and then the election day, when is election day? November of 2016.
It is 1 year and this is it's a year and 8 months away, and I feel like I feel like my head's just going to crack open like an overripe pumpkin.
So we got 20 long, tedious, painful months.
But you know what? It's not all going to be painful, Tracy. Some of it is going to be one hell of a good time. I mean, the potential for Moran Mondays between now and then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You're going to have so much stuff to talk about. You're not going to be able to get through a show because you're going to be like, well, damn, we've got to carry this over until next Monday. But then again, after that, the stories you're holding off for the following Monday, there's going to be more Morans to add on to that. You'll never be able to get through all the Morans because it is just, you know, between, you know, I'm waiting for Hillary to announce, you know, if the worst thing they can get on her is just, they are trying so hard. Jan's like, why are they, I said, baby, they don't want her to run. And they're trying everything to, you know, to embarrass her into not running. I mean, what's the last one with the cell phone, you know? Did they throw in Benghazi again just for fun? Did they get a cell phone cross Benghazi?
I know. Hey, Tracy dear, you're making the lines light up. So we will hopefully carry this conversation further on another evening. Don't be a stranger. You know the deal.
Yes, sir, I do.
And I'm not kidding. Go talk to that lawyer. Some lawyer. Anyway.
I think I will. I have a $50 challenge. I just want to throw that out.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Said, you know, if we raise $50, I will match you by another 50.
That's beautiful. So the next 50 bucks that come in any denomination, any combination, get matched and get doubled by Tracy, probably live from inside the cab even.
Well, actually, I'm going in the house because I have to do something, but I'm done for the day. But Mama hit a big jackpot in Las Vegas. Where was I? In some Indian casino. So I figured Mama can help out her homie in West Virginia, IA.
Well, hot damn. Thank you very kindly, Tracy.
You know,
and you know what? And you know what? That will
We're actually within reach of finishing the week's fundraising, so that'll...
Really?
Yeah, that would pull us up to only $75 to go to finish the week.
Well, see? Come on, Horn family. Hook my homie up. Send in the city so I can throw in that city.
And I will let you know.
You see how I got kind of, you know, ethnic with that one, right?
Wait. Was that ethnic or was it urban?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah,
see, you're right.
Yeah, we got
it. It was urban.
That was urban, wasn't it?
That was urban. You are absolutely correct.
I can be taught.
Thank you. I
can learn.
That was urban. You are absolutely correct on. And thank you for that correction. I have to be corrected on colloquialism. Did I say that right?
Exactly. Tracy, have yourself a good evening, dear. Go talk to that lawyer.
You too, my love.
All right.
I will.
Okay, bye now. Tracy, the lady cab driver, calling from Southern California. Wow, okay. This is a real hardcore push to get to the end of the week here. So if Tracy's challenge gets met, Tracy's going to double the next $50 that roll in. If Tracy's challenge gets met, then Ron is sitting there right behind her saying, I'll do a match for anything towards $50 over and above Tracy's match. So Tracy gets matched, and then Ron says, all right, I'll match the next 50 that come in after that. That would be huge because we will actually come even with bill paying. That's amazing. Doesn't happen very often around here. It's kind of like a solar eclipse. And it could not have happened without all the help we've had through the course of the month. Thank you, one and all. So we'll wait and see how that plays out. The contribution interface is at headonradionetwork.com. And remember, some of that more pushy stuff there, like your second grade teacher's shoe size, you don't have to fill that part out. You just got to get to the next screen. We've got a awesome Moran Monday group going in the chat room this evening. Good evening to Carol Abel in from Australia. Good evening, Devin. Good evening, 4 of 9. And Gerald, Jay Cruzen's in from South Florida. There's Jug of Punch. Kathy, good evening, Kathy. And I'm not sure if Todd's in the background or not. Good evening, Kelly. Good evening, Ron and Stockton Larry. Thank you, Stockton Larry, for kicking in at the post office, so that Boss Man Wayne didn't have to wear his spider-proof gloves. Thank you, Texas T, and thank you, hello, Texas T, and hello, Tim from L.A. This is big. Very big. Wonderful group we got there. Let's run back over. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, what's happening?
What's going on?
I don't know. Is that Todd?
This is Todd from South Carolina.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so I hope you're well. And Tracy just kind of, she kind of hit a nerve. And I'm sorry to hear that she had that situation. I hope she's listening. And I just want to tell her to hang in there. And, you know, people have views and people have power and people do strange shit, but you have to keep moving on, you know?
Yeah.
So, what? I have to mention this about this this Cruz character. I can't believe that people are taking him seriously.
Well, no one is. There was some guy on that morning program on MSNBC with the what does Charlie Pierce refer to him as? Scar and the Meat Puppet or something like that. Yeah. But one of the commentators there said Ted Cruz is unelectable and he's the Sarah Palin of this election. He's a sideshow. But the best thing to be said thus far under the hashtag Ted Cruz campaign slogans was John Fugelsang, who said Ted Cruz is the Abraham Lincoln of Sarah Palin's. Which almost...
I heard him say that. I really did.
That's a beautiful thing.
It was... You know, he's pretty talented, so he's
cool. No, he's incredibly talented, and he's got a razor sharp wit that runs at speeds unmeasurable by known science.
And, of course, you're probably a little ahead of him in terms of the quick of wit.
No, I'm not. Not by a long shot.
I don't know. You have a pretty broad breadth of knowledge. Like, you know, I'm serious. Like, all right. So and when you were talking about the Cuban situation in South Florida,
yeah.
I had no idea. I didn't know until I visited. I had a girlfriend down there. And as soon as I got there, I spent 2 weeks. She was like, you know, the Cubans came down. And I remember my father, you know, he was a history teacher, and he mentioned something about it. But, you know, you got to remember, see, the Batista, they didn't care about the darker-skinned folks there. They lived up in the hills, and they didn't get too much. And so, like you said, when Castro nationalized everything, you know, the lighter-skinned folks got pissed off, and they fled to Miami, and they set up camp in South Miami. And, ooh, you said it a lot better than I did. I didn't even understand the dynamic. I mean, I remember the first time I saw a dark-skinned person talking Spanish in Philadelphia, you know, on the east side of the city where everybody, you know, Spanish thing. And, you know, it's a cultural thing, but, it's life. You don't understand things sometimes, you know. It's just weird. But this is what I don't understand. It's something I'm trying to get through my head. Now, you remember when Bush took us to war? Do you remember when he gave that speech when he talked about going through the valley of death, which is like from the Bible somewhere?
That's from the 23rd Psalm.
Right. Yeah, the 23rd Psalm.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Don't get me started. Sorry.
Right. See, I'm getting a little.
Why is that on a brain cell, but the quadratic equation isn't?
Well, I'll tell you why. Well, for me, because it seems like these really religious people on either side. I don't get why the Christian fundamentalists don't understand why they're just as equally guilty as these radical Muslims.
Hold on a minute. You don't understand why they don't understand that they're as evil as the Muslim fundies? Well,
no, they're trying to issue in the new crusade.
You're making a presumption there, Todd, that is simply untenable. You're presuming that there's any degree of introspection whatsoever inside American Protestant, mostly, evangelical fundamentalism. There's not. They don't examine their motives. They don't examine why they're doing what they do. They simply act because they are a priori correct. They are endowed with the received wisdom. They are suffused with righteousness, and they just march. That's why they're so useful to the right wing. They march when they're told to effing march.
Well, you know what? Now I understand that. Now I live in South Carolina. Because when I go to open schools where you're allowed to ask questions,
mm-hmm.
They don't ask questions here. They, like you said, they just follow. Right? They just follow. It's very sad. It's very scary. I don't think these people understand what kind of hole they're trying to dig. You know, for this country.
No, but understand, no matter how bad it gets, Todd, there will always be a Republican there to explain to these mostly white people that it's not because the policies are awful, it's because of those others. And you can fill in the blank, those others being black folks, those others being Muslims, those others being liberals, those others being homosexuals and Lebanese. You know, there's lots of others out there, and as long as there are others, there will be a place in which to put blame for the things that the right wing rubes do to themselves.
Well, and that brings me into my governor here, Nikki Haley, who was a walking idiot on two legs. Now, of course, she said it was okay for our schools here to be, what was the term? Supreme Court said they were just minimally adequate, and she said that was fine.
Now, one thing. Now, remember, I hate to interrupt, but just one thing, real quick. You know how the right wings they always emphasize Barack Obama's middle name, Barack Hussein Obama, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, we have to apply that standard to them as well. We have to. One of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals is you make the other side live by their own rules. Okay. So, in doing that, that's why we never refer to Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, because it's not his real effing name. His real name is Piyush. Okay. His real name is Piyush Jindal. So we always refer to Louisiana Governor Piyush Jindal. By the same token, your governor down in South Carolina, Stan, ain't named Nikki. Not by a long shot. Her name is Nimrata. And I'm not shitting you.
You can't make this shit up.
She is Governor Nimrata Haley of South Carolina, Stan.
The feminine of Nimrod? That's too effing funny, man.
Well, no, I don't think it's the feminine of Nimrod. That's a different story. By the way, ISIS ran right over his hometown, I think. The town of Nimrod, city of Nimrod, been there for 5,000 years or so. But no, this is a South Asian name from the Indian subcontinent, and I'm not trying to in any way cast any sort of ethnic aspersion. I am trying to make the right wing live by their own goddamn rules. Her name is Nimrata. Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, you know, the Indians had their own hang up, a lot of them, because they say they don't use the caste system anymore, but they still do. I have Indian friends, and I'm telling you, the darker skinned Indians, they're from South India, Mumbai.
I was listening to Wait, Don't Tell Me this weekend on National Petroleum Radio. And I heard, because that show's a lot of fun. And an Indian bride recently walked out on her husband at the wedding. And it was one of those cute little kicker stories. Oh, those strange foreign people. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
She walked out on her husband at the altar because as they were getting ready to do their vows, she said, "Hey, what's 14 plus 6? And he said, 17? And she just turned around and walked.
Wow.
And so, no, I mean, arranged marriages, stuff, it still happens. Sure it does.
Well, listen, when I was at the university, I had one of our, actually, he was a student worker. But he, you know, he already had his master's degree. I don't know why he was a student worker or whatever. He was a whiz at math. I'm not going to say his name. But anyway, he had this huge wedding. He had an arranged wedding. And he was telling me, he was like, "Oh, I'm very nervous." He said he was really nervous because he didn't know if he would like this woman. But, you know, apparently that's what his family wanted for him. And, you know, they were very well off. But I'll never forget that because one of my office mates, she really took a liking to it. She was a middle-aged woman. She was an older white woman, and she was just kind of really getting used to having people of different races around her, which I hate to use that word race, but different ethnicities around her. And I mean, I saw her evolve because we were office mates for 10 years. And I mean, we still talk. And I mean, she tells me stories about how she grew up. So it was a big move for her. I'll put it like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, she loved this guy. I mean, she actually went to the wedding. She went to the wedding. She flew to India because She was from the Jersey Shore. Her people died, and she had a little chunk of money. So she went over there,
a pull out all the stops wedding in India is a thing to behold.
That's what she. Oh my God, the pictures and the food. Oh, she said.
Yeah,
like
and none, you know, and none of that, none of that, none of that dull, boring white European groom wears black tux, bride wears white dress. I mean, there's color in profusion, purples and pinks and golds and yellows and greens and yeah, much more. It always struck me as being much more of a celebration of life. You know, once it, if you get over the fact that maybe they never set eyes on each other before, but that's
yeah,
but that well, but that's what comes out of these ancient traditions that say that marriage is a property transfer, and that's
God, you just ruined it.
Well, I'm sorry. It's kind of like something that Ron and Raleigh just sent along. He said, I was listening to Hal Sparks a couple of weeks ago, and a caller asked Hal, "Do you believe in God?" And you know what? Nobody ever asks that question in good faith. Let's understand that right off the bat. Nobody ever asks that question in good faith. They ask that to create a point of contention. And so Hal, who is another one of those people who is incredibly quick, said, "Which one?" And Ron and Raleigh reports that the caller answered, "The one that created you." And Ron notes, "This is how they believe." You know, not that Indian god, not that Indian elephant god that eats peanuts, not that god, that's not a real god. I'm talking about the real god, son. There's a big stink going on. Oh, where is it? New York State. A big stink erupting because they were celebrating Foreign Languages Week. And every day that week, because they have to say the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of the school day, because, you know, the children might have forgotten to be loyal to the United States between 8 a.m. on Tuesday and 8 a.m. on Wednesday. Got to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay. So one of the students came in and did the Pledge of Allegiance in Arabic. Oh, hell yawned open, Todd. The right wingers.
Wait a minute.
The right wingers had a poop hemorrhage.
That is so fucked. See, they don't get it. There's a different way to look at
this. Well, no. It gets worse. It gets worse because, you know, the most important part of the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America is the part where we say one nation under God. Right?
Yeah, but
in Arabic, you know what that Arabic talker done said in his Arabic language? He done said one nation under Allah.
Oh, he fucked up.
And now there's parents out there all upset and wondering if maybe he was secretly pledging allegiance to ISIS.
Yeah, listen, by the way, I would encourage everyone to not ever use that word in reference to the quote-unquote radical people we've been hearing about. I think that's an affront to the God of ISIS. That's why I insist on ISIL. I will not.
Yeah, Kate has brought that up, too.
I'm serious about that shit. I'm not fucking around. I'm serious about that shit.
Well, I mean, ISIS was a loving goddess. She helped resurrect baby... whomever from the, you know, she was a virgin who gave birth too. I mean, that teenage Mary girl. talk about your virgin come lately. ISIS had been a virgin mother for a long time, and so too had Athena. I mean, really. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get off on a short tangent. I'm not going to keep you, but see, now you're reminding me about this guy, a theologian, his name was Joseph Campbell.
Oh, the power of myth. Nothing like it. I wish I owned it. My kids have never seen the PBS version of Joseph Campbell and the Power of Myth. And I feel like it's
transcending. I'm sorry.
You just reminded me of something that's on the list.
It really, you know, it that's something that can bind humanity together, because you look at it, it's like, you know, all these quote unquote religions basically have the same. You got the Messiah character, You've got the Virgin Mother. You've got respect for Earth. You know, it's not that complicated. It's not to get along. And all this, it's like Butler said, Smedley Butler, you know, war is a racket. These motherfuckers can't wait to find another war. And I'm so goddamn sick of them. And this jackass, Lindsey, you know, Lindsey's all right sometimes. Once in a while, he'll see something that makes him sad. But I'm telling you,
That Obama's going to get us all killed. Oh, John Rhett, somebody get me the fainting couch.
Sorry. No, I have no respect for Lindsey Graham. None. I mean, not even an iota.
You know what would be interesting, though? I would like to see the portfolios of some of these congressmen, how much they own in defense, either by 1 degree or 2 degrees of separation, how much they own in defense contracts.
Well, now, see, that's the fun part. They're all supposed to have blind trusts, but here's how it works. Blind trusts have to be managed by someone, you know, who manages, and that's a financial advisor of some sort. And don't you think for a minute that those trust managers don't get little phone calls saying, hey, you know, Lindsey was really good to us last week. You know, you might want to, you know, we got some bargain shares. Don't think
that's
so.
That's how that works.
Yeah. By the way, Michael and Madison just observed something. Hey, Bob, what are our schools coming to? Next thing you know, they'll have our children using Arabic numerals.
How about that?
Doing their ciphering
and
doing their cipherings and gazettas in Arabic. You know, that'd be a really fun thing to do to the booger eaters. You know, there are wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun to ask of the teabaggers? Did you know that there are schools in this country where children are using Arabic numerals? That's just that's just a gateway to ISIL. At Devin pointing out, I mean, 666, well, them is Arabic numerals.
I done seen it. That's what they say here.
Yeah.
They say, I done seen it. They may say the education is up to par. They say, I done seen it.
Well, remember the lady last week who was hooting about that communist dictator nearly setting off a nuclear device in Charleston? She was she's a retired teacher from the South Carolina education system.
Oh, you mean that fucking crazy bitch that spoke? Oh, she wasn't here. That one. Oh.
Yeah. Former teacher.
Oh.
She were an edumacator.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, I get no sleep anymore because Washington Journal at 7 o'clock in the morning. All the Horn family, if you want to be entertained and irritated at the same time, you listen to Washington Journal because they let anybody get on there. There are so many misinformed people. They have a lot of people, not everybody. A lot of people have no idea what the hell is going on. And you know, thank God. We'll see what happens with the internet neutrality decision. We'll see what happens with that. But that could have been a death knell, you know, because of the way things are going now. You have to have access to information because it's just everything's all strange. There was one thing I wanted to ask you about, though. Now, and this has nothing to do with terrorism or all this other nonsense or terrorism. Oh, wait a minute. One more thing about Ted Cruz.
Yeah, there always is.
There always is. He's the gift that keeps on you know what. Now, I went to school with a guy that looked just like that. But that smirk, what is that fucking smirk in his eye? When he says he's like, oh, I'm just fucking, you're like puppets in my fucking.
I don't know. To me, he always looks like a guy who, before he makes a public appearance, sucks a lemon.
I hope Bill calls in. I hope Bill. Oh, God. I want to hear Bill. But you know what I'm talking about. You know
No. I do. Because it's kind of his eyes. It's almost like Bush with a little more flesh on his face. It's like Bush if he looked like Joe McCarthy. Because that's the creepiest part about Tail Gunner Ted. He looks, I mean, you can overlay a photograph of Joe McCarthy on him, and there's no line differential.
No, I absolutely agree. Matter of fact, it's painful because if you go to C-SPAN's website, like TV History or Real TV, C-SPAN has got a deep website. They have some good history reels on there, and you can see the McCarthy trials and everything when he was, you know, taking people to
death. Yeah, just go look at pictures, just side by side. Him, Cruz, Joe McCarthy, Cruz. After a while, you can't tell the difference. Hey, Todd, lines are ringing.
Ask you one question?
Yeah, go. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Sure.
And this is like, well, I was trying to go off top. Everybody needs to call the Congress people right now because we're about to squander. Right now, the government can borrow money at zero, right? And the Fed has already let us know that, you know, it's coming. The interest rates are going to go up. We've got to get the infrastructure bill through before these interest rates go up. Otherwise, it'll be too late.
Yep.
This is very important.
It is very important. And I'm not trying to pee on anybody's Wheaties, but this is a Congress that can't come to an agreement over whether shoe tying should be done bunny ears or loop, swoop, and pull.
Well, I can't argue with that. And Carol Baker, News Ninja, keep up the good work.
She's awesome, isn't she? She's a giver, you know.
Look, and you're taking it in.
All right. You have a good evening, Todd. It's always good to talk to you, brother.
All right, man.
Bye now. Bye. Calling from South Carolina, Stan. That's our buddy. That's our buddy Todd. And good news. Darlene stepped up to the plate and answered straight up. Tracy's lady cab driver, Mama hit one at the casino challenge. So that puts Ron in Canada's challenge on the clock. Up to $50 over and above Tracy's match. So the next $50 gets doubled too. And we will... I can't do my ciphering in gazettas, you know, Arabic numerals and everything, and I only work in Roman numerals. You ever try to do long division with Roman numerals? It sucks. Can't even use a decimal point, I don't think. But anyway, we'll be very close to having fundraising taken care of for the week, and we can work on spend the rest of the week working on the end of the last of March and the beginning of April and get some furious bill paying done, which would be freaking awesome. Thank you, one and all. Let's keep it rolling. I think we may have John on the gizmo line. Is that you, John?
Yeah, this is old John, just fascinated by all these very intelligent and wonderful people there.
Well, thank you very kindly for your patience.
They are amazing and fantastic, and I'd tip my hat if I was wearing one to them. With my bald head, I need hats all the time.
I you know what? It's something I've had to learn lately that I have to get better at remembering the hat. I didn't wear a hat to the People's Foot Rally in Charleston last week, and it was a sunny day, not even the first day of spring, and I got burnt.
Yeah,
it's like I'm getting paler.
Well, your skin gets sensitive when you get up into that fifth decade, and like me, and the fur covering disappears, and it's not used to those rays.
To quote that great philosopher Bugs Bunny, yeah, Toussaint's a tav.
That's almost evil. But, I caught a piece of your Dr. Bill show today, and that, on top of your Moran Monday, sparked my calls. Because it goes right back to what I said before. I think we are, you made an allusion to it yourself. I think we are in the middle of a freaking civil war.
Cold civil war. I've been saying it for, what, 3-4 years now?
Yeah, I don't know. I've only been listening for about 6 months. But you've said it before. So, yeah, I mean, it highlights it. It highlights it to such a degree that, he talked about ALEC and all these corporations paying to cut out these new things, and it's like that education bill in West Virginia that stuff was virtually verbatim what they proposed and put forth. And it's like, damn, come on, people. I mean, you know, it's I, I do call it evil. I really do. I call it a malicious conspiracy that's as plain as the nose on your face if you want to listen to it.
Well, and I mean, you know, Dr. Bill has really been doing a good job picking apart this business of the right wing's call for a limited constitutional convention. And today, you know, if you were listening, you know he brought out the big guns because James Madison actually worried about that.
Well, I mean, he's right to worry about it because, you know, when you've got, what is it, that wanker monkey Levin, he goes and writes this big book. You've got Huxley writing his book, and all of them are talking the same thing with a little bit different words and a little bit different language, but it's all the same thing. They want to dial the clock back 200-some years and try to convince the rubes that, oh, no, you want state governments run everything. You know, welfare, that's all them little black people out there running around breeding babies and getting checks. We don't want that. It's, you know, you good people should be helped by government. The business people and the rich people and all that good stuff. Holy sandbox hell. You know, it'd almost be laughable if you didn't see the progress they're making. And that's the scary part, because they're making progress state by state by state by state. Click, 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 click. They're what, up to now 27, 28 of these suckers have voted for it?
That's the thing. You can't even keep proper count because it's actually 34.
I think it's, what, 34 to be needed or 36 to be needed?
No. There have been as many as 34. But three states rescinded theirs, and all of this, as I noted last week, all of this is a case of first impression because it hasn't been done before. So it's whatever the Supreme Court says it'll be in the end.
Yeah, and they had a thing in the news today about how they decided they weren't going to take up a voting ID law case from Wisconsin. Oh, we choose not to take up this case because it hasn't ripened yet.
Well, but to be fair, and you know, that's kind of one of the sucky things about the way American law works. To be fair, ripeness and justiciability and mootness are all pretty much carved in stone. So you can't decide a case until, like, for instance, if you've got a voter ID law that disenfranchises people, you can't decide the case until it's disenfranchised someone. Or at least that's the way I understand that case to have been. So, it creates a kind of troublesome system, I guess is the phrase I'm trying to come up with.
Well, look at the, now this is my opinion, and you can, you know, stick a bubble into it and pin in the bubble that you want. But this court has already demonstrated its absolute lack of, you know, it still bubbles my blood, because I sat and watched the freaking hearings of Roberts' confirmation. And as far as I'm concerned, the man should be freaking impeached because he sat right there and perjured himself. You know, maybe not in the legal term, but in every term that would be common sense.
Well, and so did Alito.
Yeah, they both did. And they sat there and they, oh, we're just balls and strikes and we're going to follow stare precedens and stare decisis and blah, 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 blah. And no sooner than the man put the freaking robes on and precedent went out the damn window. These guys are, they're, here's the thing, I actually almost intended, if I had, because I caught the show on the repeat, I didn't catch it on the live show, I caught it on the, I guess the, when you loaded it up to the second cycle, and so I didn't call in, but I was going to, when he made his comment to call in, for a second I was reaching for the dang phone, so I was, oh, that's right, he's going to repeat.
Well, he'll be here tomorrow.
But it occurred to me that if I'm not mistaken, and your news ninja could probably correct it if I'm wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, at least the male members of the Supreme Court are all Federalist Society jokers.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they are.
And they're heavily aligned with that whole Alec group. That much research I have done.
And you are spot on.
And if that's the case, then this starts to really stink of a coordinated. That's why I say it's a war. It's a coordinated effort.
This may seem a little bit off to you, John, but you know how the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, that gang of religious hypocrites who point at the sky and thank Jesus for helping them catch touchdown passes and stuff. Well, you know how they've weaseled their way all the way down into like little league baseball and midget league football. Well, the Federalist Society is kind of like that for little baby lawyers, because you've got the Federalist Society hotshots like Roberts and Ali, the rats, but the Federalist Society has tentacles that reach down into the law schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they bust a hump to make sure that law schools turn out little right-wing lawyers. And they're there to give them the right-wing lawyer talking points in the way of support all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, they pick and choose cases, take to the courts,
More importantly, they come up with the philosophical underpinnings for how they will assault obviously necessary black-letter law. Consider, you mentioned John Roberts. Consider the way that he undid the Voting Rights Act. Now there was nothing about the Voting Rights Act that needed undoing, because disenfranchisement and voter suppression is still every bit a reality in this country. But the Federalist Society and the right wing thinking says that, well, it's not really discrimination if we just stop some people from voting. That's just America.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody. I mean, you can't, because I see this argument all the time in this context. Well, you can't say that ain't nobody got an ID. Everybody got an ID. How you not gonna have an ID in America? Because they're white privilege, mostly white. Their white privilege says that everybody can get down to the DMV because everybody's got a car, therefore everybody needs a driver's license. Well, what do you do?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do, for instance, if your driver's license has been suspended or revoked? How about, do you vote then? Because then it's not a legal ID anymore.
Yeah.
What if the only ID you have, as our buddy Roger has pointed out, what if the only ID you have is your Veterans Administration ID? Well, the state of Texas says that's not good enough to qualify you to vote.
All right. Well, you can take it one step further. Back in the days when I lived on the streets, the only ID I had, and this is the weirdest ass thing I've ever seen, and I don't, and maybe, like I said, there's probably a legal reason for it, but I had an old expired driver's license. It was the only ID I had. Because it had been tucked away in a duffel bag someplace, and I didn't lose it. But I lost a regular wallet with my regular ID and everything in it. But because it was expired, whoa, that's not a legitimate ID. And I'm going, I'm the same person on the day that it expired, and the day after I expired, I'm the same damn person with the same name, social security number, same everything. But just because a date has elapsed, that's for identification. I'm not even saying for driver's license.
No, I understand. And see, that's that point in time when you realize that in a situation like that, the state's ability to declare what is and is not valid ID is suddenly driving your ability to exercise a constitutional right. And going all the way back to first year constitutional law, That is completely upside down, sideways, twisted through space, bass-ackwards, John.
It is very much so. But they coach it in such a quote-unquote reasonable way that, again, you say white privilege, or I say, you know, white bread, middle class, whatever. But it sounds so reasonable to the guy who has the mortgage and has a couple of cars on, you know, credit and you know, he's got his job and everything, and it's just so easy. But they just say, oh, that sounds reasonable because it keeps that voter fraud down. I went on a John Oliver binge last night, and I went onto YouTube, and I just ran down all those YouTubes he had. I was on a binge, you know, drinking soda pop and listening to all the little, you know, 4, 5, 10, 15 minute clips. And he got on one that was just funny as hell because it was like, you know, he's talking about voter, you know, voting rights and things like that. And he just it's so damn commonsensical. These people I don't know whether it's their fear or what. They make the comments. They go, well, you know, it's voter ID. You know, we're trying to stop voter fraud. And they had an article, and the one thing he was talking about is that you had 186 million votes in one particular election for one particular period of time for elections. And the total number of quote-unquote voter fraud was 86.
Yeah, and one of those was Ann Coulter.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so these states like Texas and stuff, they're all passing these damn laws. All passing these laws for the supposed great conspiracy of voter fraud. Now, I've been around a while, and I'm sorry, but fraud, you have to steal something that's going to actually get you something. You know, if you steal money, but to steal a freaking vote, as it's one of those things where it's so valuable, it's priceless. But for trying to steal it, it doesn't get you anything. It's a hell of a lot of work, a hell of a lot of effort to steal something that is, you know, with 86 times out of 880 some million people. It's ridiculous. And yet they'll spend gobs of money to pass these stupid ass laws. So some little old lady living in a tenement house in Detroit.
Yeah, but the thing is, at that point, John, legislatures passing those kind of laws, they're acting prospectively in the same way that the Supreme Court said we're not going to act prospectively.
Mm-hmm.
So legislatures can disenfranchise prospectively, but the Supreme Court will not act prospectively to prevent the prospective disenfranchisements that the state legislatures commit. And again, that's upside down, backwards, sideways, et cetera.
Yeah, I guess that's why everybody has to go to lawsuit and you have to hire a lawyer to figure this stuff out because it's so damn confusing to begin with.
Well, you know, it's a complicated society.
Well, they say that the lawyers and the lawyer and law is like a modern day priesthood.
A modern day priesthood. It arises out of the priesthood. It really does.
Yeah. And it's the scariest thing in the world because I've sat here and, you know, when that news broke about what they were, you know, the next one going down, I actually sat there and listened to this trucker in a truck stop for breakfast this morning. And he says, oh, it's not going to be long. We're going, you know, the South's going to rise again. And I actually looked at him because I didn't think anybody was crazy enough to say it. But I looked at him and I'm going, and he was just wiggling. He was like a little chihuahua. He was all just shaking and wiggling. And I was like, you guys lost the war. He says, no, we didn't lose the war. We'll win the war. We just lost the battles. And I'm going, and my jaw just, bam, hit the table.
You didn't know those guys are still out there?
Yes, I kind of knew it, but I hadn't really run into them, and I thought maybe they'd all died off, but Dan Todd was wrong.
And you know what? The fact of the matter is, they're winning. They really are winning.
Well,
My father's generation that fought the Second World War could no sooner have conceived of the idea that somebody would be out here calling for a constitutional convention to abrogate the very laws that they fought to defend and protect than they could imagine flying to the moon. Of course, we did that too.
Yeah. Amazing thing. We went to the moon and sent, what, 20-some-odd guys up there, and that was the last thing we ever did.
That was the last inspired thing we ever did. Exactly.
Now we can't
lay down railroad track without a Republican screaming communism.
Yeah, and your first story was really, if I'd have had a boot up in New Hampshire, I would have been finding a representative to stick it up his butt, because, you know, I mean, granted, you may not have to actually pass that freaking law for a bird.
Well, what the hell's wrong with passing that law?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it.
Somewhere along the way, they passed a law that says the license plates have to read "Live Free or Die."
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. I mean, you could, if you were a politician, you could reasonably argue for whatever reason not to do it. But to sit there and turn it into a platform for, you know, that's not just bad politics. That's just down out and out meanness.
Well, yes, it is, because these fetus fondlers are mean sons of bitches. Self-made. I don't want that to come out misogynist. They're mean pricks.
Well, they are.
I mean, I'm sure in your time, driving hither and thither across this once great nation, I'm sure you've seen that bumper sticker a few times. Mean people suck.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I get a kick out of all the, you know, especially down this part of the world I'm in right now. I can't drive 50 miles without running into a sign on a billboard someplace that tells me that I had a heartbeat at 18 weeks or 5 days, or I could burp at 4 weeks, and I could hear my mommy's voice at 5 weeks or 10 days or whatever the hell it is. It's like all the people that are starving in this country and have no food, no shelter, and these bastards will spend $1,500, $2,000 a month to slap a billboard on the side of a highway proclaiming, you know, some thing about, you know, a fetus. But let that baby be born in poverty, in ignorance, in bad health.
Right. And they're no interest. Yeah, they don't care. That's like when I drive from Charleston back here, I do a leg of it coming out of Charleston on actual 4-lane highway before I get down to, you know, dodging coal trucks on the 2-lane. And coming out of Charleston, southbound on 6477, south and east, there's a billboard that shows, you know, that progression of monkey to man, you know what I mean,
yeah.
From the knuckles to walking upright, and it says, "In the beginning, God created. Call," and there's a number for truth.
I see that sign all over the place, variations of that all over the place.
And how much hope is there for a nation that denies essential science?
Well, I've had this argument so many times with these guys because, and to some extent, they almost have a slight advantage because in their narrow-mindedness, and you hear it all the time, Jesus did this, or God did that. And they start their argument from the assumption that it is true. That you may, in their mind, you may argue about the mechanics, but they start the argument, and you cannot get them off of that position that the basic premise is true. That God or Jesus is indisputable, undeniable fact. not give them. You go on to half the internet sites. If you were to type in historical Jesus or proof of Jesus, and you know, there's lots of theories, lots of hypotheticals, lots of little bits and pieces tossing around, but there is no proof. There is no, and there's plenty of evidence to say that this stuff is not real. But they operate on the idea that it is real. And you, it's like from that moment on, you're paddling upstream against a fast-moving river because you will not convince them. Their entire existence is living on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think I slipped on my soapbox, so I'm going to hear.
No, you did. No, you're fine, John. You're fine. I do. I always enjoy our conversations.
Yeah. Well, it's been great talking to you, and you guys are doing fantastic. This is actually, I might have to listen to this bugger again on a podcast.
Second time, you always get more stuff.
That's it.
Well, you have yourself a good evening, and I don't know if you're still decamped or if you're back out on the road, but be safe.
Actually, I'm just sitting here at a truck stop. I've got a truck next to me that has John 3:16 and In the Beginning, and the guy next to me, and I think they're going to have a fight because they're having a conversation with a lot of arm waving, but the guy's got a truck that has a bunch of little Arabic writing on the side.
Oh,
and,
no.
They've been talking pretty hard for the last 30 minutes or so, and a lot of arm waving, and I've got my windows up right now, but I'm going to roll my windows.
Well, I don't know if I would if I were you, but, you know, that's your business.
But, you know,
I see all the trucks with all the Bible verses on them and stuff, and I have to wonder, am I to understand that truck driving is such a capricious, dangerous business that you really can't trust the laws of physics and science, and you've just got to have some magic out there working for you, too. Is that what we're talking about here, John?
No. I mean, I'll say this, and I'll kind of edit it for politeness, but as much as I love the job and everything, let's be realistic, it doesn't take an extraordinary amount of education to be a truck driver. Usually 3 weeks and a few couple thousand dollars for a school which teaches you nothing, just gives you a little certificate that you get a license with. Then you hang out in the truck for a couple months with a quote-unquote trainer who barely has 6 months more than you do. Then you get to go solo or team or whatever.
You're kind of blasé about it and maybe a little bit jaded, John. I could not do what you do if I studied it and worked on it for a million freaking years. I couldn't.
Well, I'll give you the best clue of all. Run Granny over, she's worth 50 points. If you get her with a walker, she's worth 100.
Jesus. but that's like, you know, I saw when we were driving back from D.C., you know, I saw a whole bunch of jackknife trucks. I have tremendous respect for over the road drivers, especially the ones who take it seriously.
Oh, they do. I mean, there's a lot of professionals out here, and a lot of us try. And the thing that kind of dogs me a little bit is most of the problems that you see on the road really don't come from the drivers themselves. They come from the companies, the brokers, and stuff they deal with. You have a conception out there called just-in-time shipping.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was reading about that not too long back, and I'm fascinated with it.
Well, the basic idea is that in the 50s, 60s, and back in the heyday of America, companies would pay for warehouse space. And I'll give you a fast example. For legal and practical purposes, I'll kind of edit the names out. But there is a beverage company in Salt Lake City, runs a plant. And there is a bottling company or a plastics manufacturing that makes bottles in Denver. And in an effort to try to cut their costs, the bottling company eliminated 95% of their warehouse space. And yet they have a full core production line going on. the route would be from Denver to Salt Lake City through Wyoming. Now, if you've ever driven through Wyoming, it's about one of the windiest-ass places in the country. You get wind bursts that on bad days could be 60, 70-mile-an-hour wind bursts. And you're driving what's called a high-profile vehicle. It's got a nice, big...
The phrase we use for that around here is it's slab-sided.
Yeah, slab-sided. Now, you're not only slab-sided, using your term, but you're carrying a trailer of plastic bottles. It only weighs about 8,000 pounds of cargo plus...
Well, you're damn near a sail at that point.
Oh, yeah. I went on one trip. My backside ate my seat. That's how much I was clenching. Because I'm going down the road, and it's even worse if there's any ice or anything on the ground. Your back end's all over the place. You have trucks that are flipped over. You have trucks that are... And you would ask them, well, why did you keep going? Well, I got an appointment. I got to be there. The shipper will charge us a late fees if we don't show up on time. Because the company doesn't want to pay for warehouse space. They don't want to pay the, $8, $10, $12 a square foot that they're going to use for warehouse space. And so all these loads are timed out with, maybe an hour or two flex. They may have enough storage for maybe a couple hours to keep the production line going. But if you don't get that load there before they run out of that minimal storage, then the entire plant basically goes into shutdown mode because they've got no bottles to put the fresh stuff in. But these companies, and this is rail, this is air freight. Oh, I've always said, when the start of winter happens, when you catch one of these FedEx or Airborne's or something like that with the little double trailers that have the bigger trailer and then a smaller trailer that they drag behind it.
Yeah.
As soon as you start seeing those suckers pitched over in a ditch, you knew winter started. Because companies like that, like FedEx has to be self-insured. No insurance company will touch them because they wreck so much. So they have to charge and they have to self-insure. They have to maintain their own, their own cash reserves and their own internalized insurance.
And see, because I'm as nerdy as I am, or maybe because I'm as bad at Cypher and Gazintas as I am, I guess somewhere there's a guy with a Harvard more bigger asshole degree that says, well, if a driver gets killed and a bunch of product gets ruined in a wreck, we can write that off, but we can't write off what we spend on warehouse space.
Yeah, because in the long term, the professional drivers are good enough, and my example is a little bit simplistic. There are some, fallbacks they can divert from another plant or something like that, so there is some flexibility there. But it's minimal, absolutely minimal. When you, for instance, Walmart, great example, super company, billions and billions and billions served, as you would call it, stealing from McDonald's.
Yeah.
Now get this. Okay. You take a load to Walmart. It's their freight. They bought it or had it consigned to them from a producer. Insert name of producer, however you want. I bring it to them. I back into the dock. Walmart will not unload the truck until I pay them $50. Now, I don't pay them out of my pocket. My company pays them.
Right.
And the cost gets rotated back up through the system. But that's their trick. Because since it doesn't officially become theirs until they sign the bills, they're saying, it's not ours. And so their distribution centers damn near run for free or heavily subsidized. We'll be polite and call it that. And you figure.
Yeah, because from the distro to the Walmarts is just, that's where all the Walmart trucks come from. But it's people like you who are delivering to the distro center.
Right. and then they take it internally and they drive them around. Now the Walmart drivers, if it hasn't changed as much since the last time I talked to them, they get paid much better than I do. They get waiting periods and stuff like that. That's part of that's a legacy from the Sam Walton days, because he used to like truck drivers. He considered them very important people, and he gave them a much better employment package, and they haven't lost all of it yet. But Walmart's been consistently, they'll hire a lot of their own internal drivers, but they'll also hire a lot of what they call house drivers. You go to every distribution center in the country, you'll have a different company in there alongside the Walmarts. You'll have Schneider in one place, you'll have J.B. Hunt in another one, you'll have, you know, insert name of company in another one. But they will not, for instance, they won't give a master contract at all to one company, because they don't want to have that company have the ability
have that much leverage over them.
Right. So they make sure it's all nice and broken up. They charge unloading fees, and it's a nominal fee, $50, no big deal.
Yeah, but it adds up after a while, right?
Well, yeah. I sat down and did the math one night. I'm sitting there, and I'm watching trucks. And like I said, it's about a two-hour window, and there's about, there's 75 to 100 docks. So you figure 100 docks every couple hours, and they're open pretty much 24 hours a day, but we'll be polite and call it maybe, 16 hours. You're talking $400 or $500 a day per dock per day. You add it up, tell me, that's the operating expense for the distribution center. Sam Walton, his big thing was low prices always. That was his mantra. He didn't care how he got those low prices. He didn't care how much he beats the hell out of the suppliers, the people who will start little businesses that want to sell to Walmart. They get squeezed the minute that they get, because it's such a good business deal, because if you get to sell to Walmart, you can sell to, you can produce to an entire corporation, thousands and thousands and thousands of stores. It's a make or breaker. But once you get tied into that, you're trapped. Because from that point on, Walmart's going to keep demanding lower prices, better stuff you can produce. And then eventually they're going to hand you that little card. And I watched the 60 Minutes thing back some years ago, where a guy was going in there. He had stick-ons, some kind of stick-on thing for, like the old kids thing. You stick it on your posters and you stick it on your school books and all that mess. And Walmart, presented a price. He says, can you provide this to us for this price? And the guy said, no, I can't produce that here for that price. And the girl said, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. And reaches into a binder and pulls out a card and says, call this guy up. He's a manufacturer in China that does your stuff. Have a contract with him and you can provide the price. They already had it planned. It was already set in stone. That's how American business works. You said it yourself. America's thing is business. And they will screw you in at the drop of a hat. And that's how it is. And this reverts back to what we were talking about earlier with the whole Alec thing. This country is going to... I haven't seen it recently, but I watched a show for a short period of time called Continuum on Sci-Fi. And although it's a sci-fi thing with all the time travel and all that mess, but the underlying premise was what they called the corporate Congress had taken over the United States. And I think that's where we're headed.
Well, I think... Well, headed? I think we're already there, don't you?
Yeah, but I always... I'm like that one guy that you got there. I've always got a little optimism out there. But anyway, I'm sure somebody else is on. So let me jump off and...
All right, John, have a good evening, and careful about deciding to referee between those two guys arguing how many angels can dance on the head of a pin next to you there.
Well, the first punch has been thrown, but one push has already started, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, dear.
Actually,
let me guess who... I can't... Well, you can give us the blow-by-blow next time, but I bet I know who did the pushing.
Yeah.
Was it John 3:16? Just go ahead and tell me. Did John 3:16, Religion of Peace guy, push first?
Yeah, he pushed first, and the little guy with the sandals and the little funny towel hat is is now beating his ass. So I'm going to go now.
All right. Well, there's a happy ending.
Bye-bye.
Later, John. Bye now. Our buddy John calling from the road. And let's keep it rolling. By the way, a mention. Remember, when Tracy, the lady cab driver, announced her challenge, Ron followed up and said, okay, if that challenge gets met, I've got another challenge behind it. So there is a doubling offer from Ron right now on the table in the remaining 20 minutes of the program. He will double the next $50 that comes in our frenzy of late March bill paying. So it's a shame to leave a challenge on the table. Anybody who wants to jump in, thank you, Darlene, very kindly for answering Tracy's challenge. And thank you. Well, I can't say thank you enough to Bob for getting us started with a humongous boost this evening. We got Jay Cruzen on the Skype line. Hey, Jay Cruzen.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm getting by following that call. I kind of lost my train of thought a little bit, but...
I'll just put it back on the track. It'll still run.
Yeah, well, go Cavs. Yeah, I got to poke at you one more
time.
Did
you watch that? I mean, it was kind of sad, really.
No, I didn't watch the Cavalier game. I could give a piss less, but I did watch the West Virginia-Maryland game.
Well, you know, we got two votes out there in the Horn Family Commune congregation, both Luda and Steve, saying that they will not be surprised if the Mountaineers come out on top in that match.
I believe they will. I actually do think that West Virginia is going to beat Kentucky.
I don't know. Calipari and his gang of one and done.
You know what? They don't want it bad enough. Last night I saw West Virginia.
36-0 and they don't want it bad enough? The Horn contingent from Kentucky is going to come find you.
Well, let him come find me. I don't care. Last night I saw a team in West Virginia that really, really wanted it. Well, hey, these boys from Kentucky, they've been on top
honest,
for a long
honest
time.
To God, Maryland didn't know what hit them, did they?
No, they didn't. That West Virginia defense was something like I've never seen. They just took the ball. I mean, every time Maryland tried to do something, West Virginia just took the ball. They made them boys look pretty stupid, if you ask me, from what I saw of it. And I missed probably the last...
I felt real bad for that.
Probably the last 7 or 8 minutes of it, but I already knew where it was going.
I felt real bad for the young man from Maryland, the freshman, their ball handler. I mean, he was out of position, and he jumped to try to block a long pass. And when he came down, he fell hard, went down on the floor, and then his own player kicked him in the head.
Yeah, I saw that. That really sucked. That sucked.
And his mama was sitting there watching it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is, though, I mean, that's what you get for only having one ball handler.
True.
Sorry. I mean, I'm just going to say it. I'm just right out there. That's why I like my Tar Heels, too.
Well, I didn't expect them to still be in it, but by God, they are.
And boy, did they play hard against Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, they did. I mean, I've been watching online. I mean, that's one of the reasons I love March Madness is, you know, you can actually watch it online and... You know, it's just nice. I had to run down to the Dollar General last night, and had it on the phone, and I was watching the Mountaineers go, yeah, which is really funny when you're in a public space to hear. Yeah,
yeah, but the thing I like about Carolina this year is they got a really deep bench, and they got a lot of ball handlers, and they actually played their best at the end of the game after their big guys had fouled out, and they still pulled it off.
Well, they got to admit they got a tall order against Wisconsin.
You know, if Wisconsin doesn't play any better than what I saw last night, North Carolina's going to get them. I mean, the Ducks gave them a good fight, and And the Ducks, they weren't even there. I mean, the way Carolina moves the ball up and down the court and how fast they
Oh, we
seem to be losing. Hang on. Are you still there, Jay Cruzen? Suddenly I get a message from Skype saying, ah, Jay Cruzen's back.
Oh, yeah, and you missed what I said.
Only
I guess all you missed was my prediction is that North Carolina takes Wisconsin and West Virginia takes Kentucky. Two big upsets coming Thursday.
Well, Ron and Raleigh got his heart broken by Virginia, and he did. He told me last Friday night. I just got a note from him, Jay Cruzen. Ron and Raleigh said, I told you. Didn't I say watch out for those sky blue bastards? Ron's in Raleigh, but he's not a fan.
Oh, really?
No. No, he's a proud son of Charlottesville.
Of course, the problem that we have to deal with if we do get past Wisconsin and Kentucky is the other side of the bracket has those freaking Blue Devils in it.
Well, wait. You've got to after that though. Hold on. If you get past Wisconsin, you get to play either Xavier or Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, Arizona's not going to be a cakewalk.
Oh, it isn't a cakewalk for either team all the way down.
And the winner of WVU Kentucky gets either Wichita State or Notre Dame.
Good luck.
Well, did you? Well, I guess we're kind of ruining things for Scott in Sweden, but I guess, but we're. Did you see? I mean, Wichita State treated Kansas like they weren't even in the same building.
Yeah, I saw that. I did. I watched a good bit of that. I was fortunate, actually, this weekend. It was really slow at work, so I spent a lot of time in the service center watching TV.
Well, I for you, well, it won't stay that way as we get into the warmer weather, will it?
Oh, no. I was actually afraid this afternoon. I didn't think I was going to get out of work on time. It's been so freaking hot down here, Bob. We went from what you could call somewhere in between fall and spring. We never had a winter. I mean, 40 degrees.
Well, see, I figured at some point they would have had they would have shipped your butt up to the frozen wastelands to deal with power outages there.
No. The freaking South Florida, man, we got too much going on every day. I mean, I run 16 calls a day. Well, let's say 9 or 10 calls a day on an 8-hour day. Sometimes 20 calls a day on a 16-hour day.
Jesus.
Up to 24 calls.
Don't you get a little nervous around hour 15? Or I mean no disrespect, but at some point in time, exhaustion's got to kick in, and exhaustion and high voltage probably are not the best of friends.
No, they're not. I'll be honest with you, there's been some times, but that's when you just slow down. I mean, you know, we're a union shop, so safety first. If I don't feel good about it, I ain't doing it.
Well, that is, at least you got that going for you, because... Well, I'd hate to think what it would be like in a non-union shop.
Oh, I already know what it's like because I've been there. I worked with contractors for years coming up. But I got to say, one more thing as far as rooting for something goes, since we're talking about NCAA and March Madness and all that.
Yeah.
I've got to, since the new report came out about the ice sheets in Antarctica melting at like twice.
Unprecedented rates, yeah.
Yeah, over the past 3 years, twice the rate that they did the 3 years before that. Well, I'm going to have to say that I'm rooting for the Antarctic to keep melting faster before California runs out of water, because I want to disappoint the Christians, you know, because, you know, Jesus or God said that he wouldn't destroy the world with water twice, and I want to prove him wrong.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah,
he said it'd be fire, which means California wins. So I'm rooting for the water.
Oh, you are a dark and bitter man, Jay Cruzen.
I can be. You know, that's what we live in, especially when you accept that you know it's coming. I mean, you know, you got to find some fun somewhere, right?
Well, yeah. Not a hell of a lot more you can do. I hear your vape, by the way. What are you vaping these days?
Oh, regular tobacco. 18 milligrams.
Still haven't been able to downgrade to the nines or the sevens or the, you know, fruit.
No,
punch.
I haven't. And I gained 20 pounds since I quit smoking. I went from a whopping 148 to a massive 168.
No, that's okay. You're still in have to run around in the shower to get wet neighborhood, okay?
At 5'11", yeah, I guess you're right.
Oh, at five eleven in that weight? No, if you just put on a striped shirt and stick your tongue out and turn profile, people think you're a zipper.
Well, no, but I used to have this nice little six pack, and now I got a keg. I look down and I see this nice little round keg.
Hey, where's my feet?
I ain't that far yet.
I thank God for my size 12s every day. I can at least see toes.
I'm right behind you with an 11.
Well, so are most of the calls you go on? I mean, are you seeing a lot of rising water related calls? I mean, I still can't get those photos out of my mind that you shared with us one evening. You know, just another day in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and the water's 6 inches from being in the streets.
We don't get many trouble calls for that. You know, here few and far between, actually. We still got a few years to go, but you know, with the new news coming out of the Antarctic, I'm sure that I'll get to see a lot of it. So we always got that.
Which is good, I guess.
Well, you know, when we had that freaking stupid superstorm Sandy, Fort Lauderdale Beach went away. I mean, an entire portion of it, and you don't know the geography, but from Sunrise Boulevard all the way up...
No, I do know the geography.
From Sunrise all the way up to almost all the way to Oakland Park, the water was over A1A.
Good job.
And it stayed that way. I mean, the damn stupid hurricane had already made landfall and went off. And it was still that way. Of course, you know, it hit at that very time of the year where we have the super high tides, so it is insult to injury.
Yeah, no kidding.
What? So they built a seawall. They built a seawall from right there, just a little bit north of Sunrise, all the way up until about 18th Street. Northeast 18th Street there along Fort Lauderdale Beach.
Yeah, but that seems a little... by comparison, I was coming home from the People's Foot Rally a week ago today, and I noticed where... by the way, 165 note coming in from News Ninja Carol Baker. That's what I weigh until I put the other leg on the scale. Oh, and she also notes for your leisure hours, she says, I strongly recommend everyone take a gander at tedcruz.com. Looks like the liberals got to it first. She's laughing.
Yeah, I already heard about that one. It's something about Save Obamacare or something like that.
It sounds fun. I don't know. Things have been quiet, and there's just something in me that thinks you're not going to have a quiet hurricane season.
Well, it doesn't even matter about the hurricanes, man. Down here, the freaking afternoon storms keep us so busy, it's insane. You know, it's either way, 16 one way, 16 another way. Same bullshit every day. And you just try to get out when you can. But with the heat the way it is, or the way it's been this month and last month, I mean, we were in the 80s last month. We were in the 80s in February. And we're up in the 90s now. Been up in the high 80s all month. So, And then I was saying in the chat room, I was telling everybody, I was saying Lottie's going to be praying for snow this summer.
You think he's going to bake?
Yeah, everybody's going to bake.
Well, I got to admit, it would not break my heart to take my pale butt down and do a couple of weeks at 80 somewhere. But you know, I'm just a hillbilly. I'll wait for summer.
Well, I hate to throw a few more statistics in there, but the first 2 months of 2015 are the hottest January and hottest February on record globally.
Mm-hmm. But that's not going to deter Tail Gunner Ted, who says that science isn't real because Jesus, right? Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to those assholes anymore.
Hey, Jay Cruzen, you have yourself a good evening, my friend. Good to hear from you. Good to talk to you.
All right, you too, Bob, later.
All right, see you. Bye now. Our buddy Jay Cruzen down in South Florida. And it is time to go ahead and get out of here. Thank you very kindly to Gerald, who has taken Ron's challenge down to only $30 to go. And at which point Ron will double both the 30 to go and the 20 if we can get the extra 30. It's been an extraordinary night, and it's going to take a great deal of weight off of me sweating the bills. Thank you very, very much. Starting with Bob and Jeremy and Ed and Gerald and Darlene and Tracy and Ron. Thank you very, very much. It is, like I said, so we'll be back tomorrow evening with Titanic Tuesday. And a reminder, Dr. Bill comes around at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tomorrow. If you've never listened, you really should. There is an education taking place there that is not generally available anywhere else in the country. And not only is there an education taking place, there's an opportunity to interact with in ways that are, well, only to be found on the Horn, frankly. And I hope, and Dr. Bill enjoys calls and he loves interaction. So maybe check it out. And I noticed, by the way, thanks very much for the update letting me know that Dr. Bill's podcast hadn't been going up. I've alerted Ben, and that will be corrected, I hope, in short order. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen, you with your kind contributions that enable us to keep doing this, keep this community together. Thank you to all of you who spend your finite, precious time in sharing this conversation, either live or via the podcast, the recorded file. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room, moderators there for years and years and years of experience together. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net and ACACT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Sheena, it's all for you.